Welcome to the Moose Room, everybody. The OG3 is here. Brad and Emily and myself are together. This will be one of the last ones, but not the last one, where I'm on the podcast in my role at Extension, because I'll be back for sure, but not in this role. But we are...
It'll cost you $5,000 every time you're back.
Yep. That's how it works usually. As soon
as do you think we keep this thing going?
That's how it works. And I expected that. I expected that. That's okay. You know, in classic fashion, we started the, I hit the record button, what I thought was going to be, you know, just 1 or 2 minutes before we started. And we're 25 minutes into this recording. We just started the show. We had some good rants, ones that we will probably try to maybe not go on again, but semi-recreate with less colorful language, some of them involving safety, because Emily, what week is this?
It is National Farm Safety and Health Week 2024.
Absolutely. And when this comes out, we'll be a week after, but we're recording during the week, so we're counting it.
Right. And I mean, safety should be a year-round conversation anyways, so does not matter the week that the episode comes out. It's still important, and we hope you still listen to it through to the end.
We have plenty to discuss. We tried to get through a bunch of the fall safety stuff Emily and I did a couple episodes ago, but there's always more to talk about. And we touched on a few of the things, but not everything. That's for sure. We went over the basics of, you know, we're getting into corn silage, or a lot of people are actually already done. We didn't really talk about some of the other things that go along with harvest season. We talked about roads. We talked about four-wheelers and other small vehicles or machinery, Emily was calling them. But we didn't talk about some of the other big things that we always need to keep in mind around this time of year. And this is all kind of prompted because the three of us have noticed a lot of accidents involving agriculture this year. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because we just talked about it and I've been more aware, but I've been seeing what I think is more than usual. What do you think, Em?
Yeah, you know, people always ask me that, and that's a little hard to gauge. You know, I think around this time of year is when we certainly do probably see more of these stories in the news. And yes, it does seem like this year there seems to be quite a few. And I will say a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but to me, it seems like this year more of them our fatalities, which I think also really makes them stand out to us more and notice them a lot more. We did already talk about roadway safety, but I do want to mention we did recently lose a young dairy farmer in Minnesota who was, as I understand, rear-ended by a semi. So I don't have a lot of details beyond that, but you know, we talked about roadway safety. So if you did not catch that, please go back and listen to episode 256 and get yourself up to snuff on what we need to remember about roadway safety. But just a reminder, you know, if you are operating farm equipment on a roadway, do your best to wait until the road is as clear as can be to pull onto the road. Be really mindful as vehicles are approaching you, especially from behind. Try to have a plan. If it looks like they may not be slowing down, is there a way for you to get safely off the road or more off the road? My goal is that people can always make it home safe at the end of the day. So that is what, you know, this is all about, what National Farm Safety and Health Week is all about as well. You know, and I love this year's theme. It's don't learn safety by accident. So I think that's really appropriate.
Absolutely. And you love a good pun too. So, I mean,
yes,
it's a serious deal. And I don't know. I mean, I'll go on a little mini rant. Since the pandemic, driving everywhere has gotten more chaotic. I'll say that. I think
I'd agree.
And I don't know if it's a heightened sense of anxiety amongst everyone in general, or people truly forgot how to drive appropriately, or what happened, but it's definitely gotten more chaotic. Rush hours back in the cities, which we had a solid 4 years of zero rush hour. It didn't matter what time you left the house or where you were going, there wasn't traffic. And now we're back to it. Everyone's back in the office or headed that direction. Not everyone, but a lot of people. It's become much more chaotic and much faster And I've seen, again, I don't drive as much as I used to when I was in practice, but I drive plenty, especially this week. I was back and forth to Grand Rapids twice this week, once last week. I'll go again next week. And I've seen some really stupid stuff, especially related to slow moving vehicles and how impatient people are. And so, yeah, I mean, we just talked about it, but it's worth mentioning again. It's been bad. I rant over. I didn't say just rant over, but rant over.
You just kind of left it. I wasn't quite sure where to take it. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
All right. So we talked about roadways. We hammered that. Just be careful. Remember, these people are at work. Respect the fact that they are at work and that they don't necessarily want to be driving 30 miles per hour, but that's as fast as they can go. So respect that they're at work. When we talk about other things, and I think about this with semi drivers too. You just mentioned semis being involved in this accident. Fatigue. I mean, this is the time of year when people push it. And the first people, I just had a conversation with someone yesterday about custom harvesting. And those guys push it hard and they push it for several weeks in a row and they barely sleep. There's a lot of tired people out there operating very big machinery.
Yes. And I was recently at the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo and met some international guests at the show. And yes, they were from Australia and they were part of a custom harvest team. And those international teams, they normally don't get a lot of time to adjust for jet lag. So if you also are using, you know, people being brought in on H2A or whatever else, right? There's the general no sleep. There's working with people that may be suffering from jet lag. You know, just a lot of things I didn't think about, right? That for some of our farms and some of these larger custom teams, that's their reality too. And so, yes, fatigue is very real, regardless of what your situation is. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. And so I'm going to sound like a broken record, and I simply do not care. You know, you need sleep. Our body has an absolute need for sleep. And I understand that when it's harvest season, when it is go time, when the weather is in the perfect window, when we have all the people we need, the stars are aligned in all those ways, we have to get the job done. And I get that. But, you know, again, the body, the human body has an absolute need for sleep. We, you know, will only go so far before we drop. And it's just so much easier on us and the people we are working with if we are taking the time to get that rest. Now, again, I'm not going to be naive and think, oh, you have to get, you know, 9 to 10 hours, right? But can you get at least five? I'll give you five. All right, everybody, 5 to 6 hours. Let that be a goal, right? It's not everything you need, but it is so much better than nothing. It's so much better than 3 hours. It's so much better than a couple naps here and there when you have a few minutes. You know, again, fatigue is very real. I know I was recently experiencing fatigue. And yeah, it's harder to think straight. It's harder, you know, when you're presented with those quick decisions, you know, do I need to have this switch on or off? Something that simple, right? It can just be such a process to figure that out if you are tired. And similarly, if you don't have enough to eat. So in addition to sleep, the brain has an absolute need for fuel in the form of glucose, right? So we get that from sugars, carbohydrates, those types of things. We also need protein for energy as well. So, you know, just thinking about, yes, you know, I get grab and go snacks are the way to go. I know we have a lot of awesome crews out there that do provide meals to folks in tractors, which is always so helpful. And those are usually good, hearty meals. But if you aren't able to get that, you know, grab, yes, things that are high protein, smoothies, protein bars, chocolate milk, you know, yes, pop and candy bars. That's always my first choice too, right? But those will only get you so far. You will get a sugar crash, right? So also think about having that because it's, you know, good for your brain and that it makes you feel good because you like it. But then also having food that's good for your body as well.
Yeah. And I know that a lot, especially the custom harvesters, but everyone else too, is under a lot of pressure to get it done, right? If a dairy calls and they say, hey, we want to go on this day, we're going to start on Thursday. you don't sit around and wait till Thursday for that big client or that one big dairy. You figure out how much other stuff can you jam into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before Thursday comes. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, in some ways that's a necessity, but don't let that pressure get to a point where you just say, my sleep isn't as important as getting all those jobs done, right? Like, okay, like, yeah, 11 hours of sleep, not going to get there. But prioritize at least a little bit so you can function. And I like these little breaks too. Like Em was talking about lunch. When I was younger, I was very naive and I had all the energy in the world, right? And I was like, well, oh, we don't need to stop. Just grab that peanut butter jelly sandwich, slam it down and 2 minutes of break and keep going. Well, I really enjoy a nice lunch break now. And everyone needs that
right.
fuel for their body in the terms of food. But they need that mental break as well from concentrating where you can just connect with the other people because you need that socially to recharge as well, even if you're an introvert. And you need that food for your body and you just need a break. Even if it's a half hour lunch, you don't need to take a 2 hour, you know, siesta, right. but you need
even if it's something. A 20 minute lunch,
something, just take a break yeah. and completely stop thinking about whatever you're doing for work for that time completely.
Yes. Well, and I was reading a while back, they did, you know, some research around the idea of like actually stopping to eat a meal as a meal versus, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to eat at my desk while I'm working, or I'm just going to stand at the counter and snack on some things quick while I read this, or, you know, talk on the conference call. And, you know, that basically doing that can make us feel less full. Like we're not satisfied by our food. We're not, you know, satisfied. Our hunger isn't. And so if we actually sit down to basically like tell our brains, like we're stopping, the only thing we're doing right now is eating, it does help you feel fuller, helps that energy kick in better, and kind of helps you re-regulate more. So it does a lot of different things. So yes, sometimes I get it. I am, you know, very bad at eating lunch in the car, especially eating lunch while I'm driving. Sometimes that's just what you have to do, right? But that's not as effective because I'm doing something else versus just stopping to just focus on eating. Just like you stop to only focus on sleeping, right? It makes it more effective when that's where all of your, you know, energy is really focused to. So yeah, I think the break, again, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? It's better than nothing.
Absolutely. All right. We've hammered that. Get some sleep, take breaks, eat food, good food. Sometimes mix in a pop or a candy bar or whatever it is for your mental health on that side because you enjoy it.
Right.
What else do we need to cover today, Em? I know that, okay, so here's one thing that I see, and I drove by one. Advertised as a fall event where you pick pumpkins and you do this other thing, but they also have the infamous corn sandbox. It's a sandbox made out of corn, dry corn.
The corn pit.
The corn pit. Let's get some thoughts. Let's get some thoughts from Em.
All right. I have a lot of thoughts, a lot of strong thoughts. I will try to keep them both concise and appropriate for the podcast. I understand absolutely why things like making a big pit with corn for kids to play in at a pumpkin patch or apple orchard feels very appropriate, right? Feels very on theme. Those of you who know me personally know I love a good theme. However, we do need to think about kind of what that is communicating to people, especially people who maybe don't see, you know, big piles of corn very often or who don't spend a lot of time on farms, right? And that is that a pile of corn is a place to play. I worked at an apple orchard in my high school years. And they had the corn pit. In addition, they had the giant hay pile. So they basically rolled out layers of round bales and put some big, large squares on top and just shook it all out to make it as tall as they could. And that was another place where kids would play. So they'd be in the corn pit or on the hay pile. And certainly as a teenager, I thought, yeah, it's cool. It's fun. It's whatever. You know, I grew up on a farm, but I was like, it's harmless. It is not harmless. Again, with those things, we are sending a message to people. And that is that if you see these things, they are places to play. They are safe places to play, right? Because when we go to an apple orchard or a pumpkin patch, and I shouldn't just signal those businesses out, but you know, when we go to a business that's meant for entertainment and or amusement, we assume that that business is not going to expose us to things that aren't safe. So in and of itself, you know, a small, shallow pit of corn, generally probably not super dangerous, right? But again, the message it's sending is dangerous, because now that kid goes to their friend's farm and they see a big wagon full of corn. And they think, well, yeah, I played at that place and that was fine. So this is probably a place I can play too. You know, that's what they see. They see a big hay pile. They see round bales stacked up at their friend's farm or their aunt's farm or whatever. And they think, oh, well, yeah, at that one place, we got to play in that hay pile. So this must be where we play. We get to play here. It's safe to play here because I know hay is where we play. Right. So that's, you know, again, as adults, as parents, as caretakers or guardians of children, we all need to make those decisions on what type of risk we let kids be exposed to, but also thinking about the messages that those risks may send. So maybe you do let your kids play in a corn pit at some sort of business or event like that. But then you're also having a conversation like, hey, you know, we play in this corn here because it's special. They've taken it out of the bin, you know, they've taken it out of the wagon and it's just right here. And so this we can play in. But if we see corn somewhere else, you need to check with me to see if you can play in it. Right. And I know that seems like a lot of work, but it's also a lot of work to plan a child's funeral. I know that as well. And that may be very grim and morbid, but that is the truth of the matter as well. So I don't want to scare people, and I don't want to say businesses shouldn't have these things. You shouldn't enjoy these things at these businesses, because you should. But just be aware of again, what the message is there. You know, be aware of, you know, if you have a kid, how that child's going to interpret what playing with that means, you know, and it's just about making the effort. It ties all back to a culture of safety, right? And even if you are not somebody who's living and working full time on a farm, you can still have a culture of safety in your home and with your family or, you know, whatever community you belong to. So that's, you know, a big piece of this is just how we're teaching ourselves and others about being safe around different things, even if they are intended for our amusement.
Rant over.
Yeah, I was going to say, how was that?
That was good. That was good. It was much less colorful than earlier. So yes, good work. Good work. Not a whole lot of editing needing to happen on that rant.
You are welcome, Jim.
Thank you. All right. So the other thing that we talked about briefly before we started recording for real was, there's situations, especially when we're talking about these seasonal activities, whether that's harvest or chop and silage, or even these businesses that are seasonal, like a pumpkin patch or an apple orchard, tractors are still involved, whether or not it's harvest time, whether that pulling hay wagons, those kind of things. But also there's people that are involved in those activities that are operating machinery, probably for the only time they're going to operate machinery the whole year. Walk me through, Em, like how do we make sure, you know, you only drive tractor 1 month out of the entire year? What are the steps? What's the checklist? How do you get refamiliarize yourself with safety if you're only doing it a short amount of time every year?
You know, I think, and I want to be clear, this is kind of Emily's personal opinion at this point, you know, that does land on the management or kind of whoever is in charge of putting those people on those tractors to operate them. And right, it may be a thing where every year folks come back and they say, yeah, I remember, I know what I'm doing. And I think most people probably do remember. They may remember the basic mechanics, you know, but do they remember the little nuances? Do they remember that Ford tractor has that one part that gets a little sticky, you know? And so I think it's a matter of just retraining, right? Getting folks refamiliarized, you know, that's not to say you shouldn't take people's word. Like, yeah, I'm sure you do remember, and I bet you do, but you know what? We're just going to get everybody reminded, so I know that you're all on the same page, you know, and especially if folks do say, well, hey, you know, I also drive tractor for my cousin a few times a year to haul hay for them. You know, that's great. But I also don't know what kind of habits you've picked up from your cousin, right? So kind of taking the time to do that standardized retraining, getting folks refamiliarized with the process, how things work, how you do things, you know, at your farm or business, whatever it may be, that's going to make the biggest difference. Is, you know, when we know there's been that lapse in time, and you know, us as humans, we usually are a little more confident in our skills than what they are in reality. Like, that is just part of the human condition. That's not me calling anybody out, or if anything, it's calling myself out, right? I'm probably way more confident in my abilities than what I can actually do, right? And so if we ask somebody, well, yeah, you remember how to do the tractor, you remember the path we drive. Yep, I do, right? Because we don't want to say no. We don't want to feel like we don't know, or that we're behind, or that we're stupid or anything. So we'll say, yep, I remember. Whereas if we don't even ask that question, we just go, okay, welcome back. We're going to spend today just doing a refresher. We'll drive you through the course, and then we'll have each of you take some time on the tractor to drive the course with me watching you, right? It's just a standard part of it now. And everybody gets the same information. They get the same training. They get the same amount of time to practice. And then in that time too, you can see if there are people that may need additional help or training, or maybe just need to be doing a different task.
Absolutely. I think it, some of those things kind of sneak up on you, where it feels like a fairly inherently safe task and or activity. But I mean, we're still dealing with big equipment. And if it's used improperly, or someone doesn't quite remember what to do, or they're not familiar enough that when they are in a high stress situation, they don't automatically know what button to push, what lever to pull, what brake to step on, whatever it is, you have to know it well enough that in that high pressure situation, you know what to do. And that's a different level than just, oh, I remember from last year, or, you know, I've driven a tractor before. And since this is a tractor, all tractors must be the same. You know, you got to avoid things like that. Bradley, you've got kids at the age that are starting to help with random stuff like this, right? Like, they're starting to, I'm assuming, be interested in tasks like driving a tractor or doing things like that, or even getting on a four-wheeler. But they might not do it all the time, right? So how do you approach that from that point as a parent?
Well, interesting. You try to teach them, maybe reteach them again. I don't know. My kids are not very astute at working with machinery or tractors or things like that. So sometimes it's going back with them, or, you know, even our tractor that we used to mow the lawn, it's like, well, you got to reteach them how to use that. At least just a brief overview, you know, it's not like we have to spend 20 minutes trying to figure it out. But, you know, I think that's the big thing. It's just even a 30-second or minute retraining of what's going to happen or what to do. And wear your seatbelt. I always wear your seatbelt. Yeah, that's usually what happens here. Might not be the best way, but that's what we do. At least try to reteach them a little bit. I have an old John Deere B 1941. My kids like to drive that around. It's hand clutch type stuff. So it's, you know, probably the unsafest thing in the world, but yeah, I'm usually around when they drive that.
You're always around when they drive that.
Oh, yeah. Right? Sorry. Yes, I'm always around when they drive that.
Yes. All right. There we go. Thought I misheard you there.
Sorry. I am, because they can't even start. It's not electric start. You have to, like, crank this thing to get it started. So, yeah. And they are not successful at starting it.
So Bradley is always around when they drive that tractor, and he's always wearing sunscreen and encouraging others to do so as well in those moments.
Yes, always wear your sunscreen and hearing protection.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's end on that topic then, since we just brought up hearing protection. I think, Emily, I'm going to tell you what I hear the most when I'm out and I'm talking to farmers, and we're talking about PPE and or mostly hearing protection is what I hear is my hearing shot. It's gone already. It's too late for me. I don't need it. So address that. Bust that myth. Let's go with that.
All right. So even if you are already suffering from hearing loss, you should still use hearing protection, because it can slow the progression of further hearing loss. So it shouldn't be this attitude of like, well, it's already gone downhill, so there's nothing I can do. There is something you can do. You can stop it from getting worse. You know, again, I mentioned recently being at Big Iron in Fargo. And one of the things we were talking about there, we being my farm safety colleague from NDSU Extension, Angie Johnson, and I, was hearing protection. And we had so many people of a certain age, I will say, that came up and saw our display and just whipped out their hearing aids. And they were like, this is what happens when you don't use hearing protection. And I said, yes, yes, it is. You know, so even if you are already using hearing aids too, because that was another thing a lot of these folks said, is they said, yeah, I have hearing aids, but I also now wear hearing protection. You know, they wear earmuffs. I was in Fargo, so we had a lot of Bison fans. So a lot of them mentioned like, oh yeah, when I go to a Bison game, I put my earmuffs on, you know, or they're using earplugs. We were giving away earplugs and the folks with the hearing aids wanted them the most. Right. So they recognize that, you know, even if you've lost some hearing, you can stop losing any more by using hearing protection. And hearing protection is recommended anytime that you are exposed to greater than 85 decibels for more than 10 minutes or so. So, you know, driving a tractor, emptying a grain cart, those types of things, right? Because I think a lot of people think of like concerts, right? Well, we're exposed to a noise a lot of other places. When we were at Big Iron, I actually have a decibel reader on my smartwatch. And so I pulled that up. And with just me talking at my normal level, which is kind of loud, with that right by my mouth, it was over 85 decibels, right? And of course, I'm not like right in people's ear doing that, but you can get over 85 decibels pretty quickly. And again, you just need something for your ears, canal caps, earplugs, earmuffs. They should all be rated to kind of tell you how many decibels they help protect against. And I want to be clear, right? Because sometimes people say, well, I've tried earplugs and they don't work because I can still hear. You know, hearing protection is not going to completely block out sound. Right? Unless you specifically have like noise canceling headphones that have special technology in them to do exactly that. But generally, hearing protection is meant to dampen some of those decibels, not completely render you unhearing. So that's also what makes them great for things like operating machinery, going to concerts, being somewhere loud, because you can still hear with them in. Especially it helps you drown out outside noise so you can hear the direct noise. So specifically, you can hear people talking to you very clearly, you know, over the din of grain being emptied out of a wagon. So hearing protection, you know, helps with hearing loss, will help slow hearing loss if you're already experiencing it, and is something that's really necessary in a lot of situations. Things are a lot louder than most of us realize.
Yeah, especially when you go to, for those of you in Minnesota, a Vikings game, if you've ever been to one of those, or even loud indoor stadiums, holy smokes, that will kill your hearing instantly. It's bad.
Yeah.
So your earplugs when you're there, or something else, because it's really bad.
Well, and they make such good earplugs now. You know, and like you can get the high tech ones where you can hear just fine and it cuts out everything above a certain decibel, or it goes into effect above a certain decibel. But they make super nice custom molded earplugs that they come in kits. You can do them at home now and they're way more comfortable. I mean, there's so many good products out there for it. And I know one of the things is the comfort, or some people don't want to look a certain way. They don't want to be at a concert with giant earmuffs on and that kind of thing. There's so many options out there now. There really isn't an excuse. And there's lots of reusable products that are easy to clean. When I was younger, did not take care of things the way they should have. My entire body, everything. And now I am much, much more aware because of my hearing not being as good as it should be because of that. And I'm pretty religious about it now. And hopefully my kids will just do it from day one. Well, they probably won't because they won't listen to me, but that's fine. But at least I'll be telling them and they won't have that excuse.
Right. You're going to totally be that dad. Like, when I was younger, I did this. So don't you do it.
Don't learn the hard way. Rah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Any last comments?
Last comments are going to be my last comments every year. Slow down, think twice, and be safe.
Perfect. Wrap us up, Em.
All right, we are going to wrap it there. If you have questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals about today's episode, you can email those to themooseroom@umn.edu. You can learn more about farm safety from Extension online by visiting extension.umn.edu/farmsafety. Find us on the web at UMN Mooseroom on Twitter, and find Bradley on Instagram at UMNWCROC Dairy. That is a wrap. Bye.
Bye.